This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Joker, Folie à Deux.
I don't know why this is called Folie à Deux. What does Folie à Deux mean?
I don't speak French, so I have no idea. I'm going to Google it.
Well, I don't speak French either.
It doesn't really make any sense. Neither of these films have any kind of connection to French cinema or anything, you know, French artistry, or, you know, none of the characters are French or speak French. It's a bit weird. It means delusion or mental illness shared by two people in close association. So I guess the idea is Joker and Harley, and they share the same illness.
Okay, because then that complicates even more to what we watched. We have mixed feelings about the first film, but we were just like, okay, let's see what Joker 2 has. We were, you know, a bit skeptical, like Todd Phillips is returning to make a $200 million budget.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the...
That's $145 million more than the first film. Why?
Yeah, well, yeah. So then we go on to hearing it's a musical, hearing some really interesting concepts, like maybe a new depiction of Harley Quinn, which is pretty cool. And then we get to see return of Joaquin Phoenix. That sounds great.
Brilliant. When can I watch it? This sounds awesome.
It came out. And we
oh my God.
It. It came out. Oh, wow.
What?
Tom, I don't know how to talk about this, man. I'm being for real to people listening. This film made no sense. This film was just absolutely nothing.
John, I loved it. I really, really loved it. I didn't love it. if you could see his face right now.
Oh my God. I'm the Joker, baby. I was shocked. Oh my God, he's the Jonkler now.
I'm the Jonkler. I did it.
The Jonkler, the Joker.
Well, I want to say before we get started, people are moving all the furniture in my house today, so apologies for any noises you might hear. I'm going to replace them with wacky sound effects. So, there's one. Hey! Oh, they're in your house too, John. Whoa, look out.
Oh no, someone's in my house.
Okay, yeah, so it's interesting what you said earlier. All these interesting concepts that this film comes up with.
Yeah.
It does not stick to a single idea. It doesn't commit to anything it does. And everything in isolation, this sounds good. We got a Joker 2 that is a musical. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. We have a Joker 2 that explores a dangerous love, that explores the exploitation and mistreatment of prisoners. It explores what a figure of a martyr is, especially a misunderstood one. We're exploring numerous elements here, and the film doesn't do anything with any of them. Sometimes it'll be like, hey, we'll keep this for later, and then later comes and it's like, eh, we can't be bothered. The film feels more like it's interested in repeating everything from the first film, but doing it in a way that strips down the ambiguity even more and the nuance even more. It just kind of says, this is what happened. There is no more space for you to create your own reality, even though the first film does like to give you the answers. This one's even more like, yeah, this is what happened. This is objectively what happened in that film. I just sat there and I was just like, oh, okay, so you're just going to do nothing with any of this? Fine.
It just felt like a drama court case. It just felt like we were just retelling the events of the film, which we already knew as an audience. If the audience haven't seen the first film, then you've seen this. It's like, okay, that's interesting. But watching the first film and then you knowing what's happened, it gives absolutely nothing. It's just a carbon copy to what the film was trying to say, what the themes were, how as a society we've got to look after each other and be kind. And this film just went back to basics again, which is, this is what happens when films do sequels where they have a character that go back to square one and be absolutely nothing. That's what the film does. It just tries to go back to where it was from the first film, but in a terrible way, because it utilizes the musical sequences, which directly tells you as an audience what is going on with their feelings, with their thoughts. Because I'm going to go off a rant with the musical things, okay? Because musicals, they are expressionistic of what the characters are thinking about or reflect on their character dynamic. And musicals don't have that many songs. La La Land, for example, that's an amazing musical.
Arguably the best musical to ever be put on screen.
Yes. And those help to understand what is going on in the world of musicals. And the musical is a completely different reality. That's what movie musicals are. They're a completely different reality. In here, they're utilizing the musicals as something in their head, but it has no impact on the story whatsoever. Nothing that you see in the story. There was no stakes. There was nothing to reflect on the character's development. There was no character development, by the way. I might be going crazy.
Yeah.
It had so many songs. Yeah. It didn't need to have that many songs, and it just made me
The songs
really
weren't even good. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't really mind. I love a musical, and when I found out this film was going to be a musical, I was so happy because I thought, brilliant, we're going to do something different. We're going to explore a different genre. If the first film was kind of a love letter, an ode to Scorsese films and a certain genre, a certain period of films, then this film, this could be an ode to musicals and that side of cinema, and it never goes further any of those times. I really loved a lot of the set pieces that we got to see, and again, yes, the cinematography is absolutely astounding, and they don't miss a beat at all. There is the beautiful sequence on the rooftop of Hotel Arkham. There's the sequence in the jazz club when they have their own comedy show. All these things, they look amazing, but for one thing, the songs are completely unmemorable, and for another thing, I don't think that Todd Phillips is a good enough director to do anything interesting with these scenes. Whoever the cinematographer is, I'm not sure if it's the same one as the first film, but they're doing a great job. But Todd Phillips isn't doing anything with these scenes, isn't commanding the move of the camera or the move of the space or any of the actors in such a way that makes these musical sequences feel exciting and vibrant. You never have a moment where everyone's dancing, or there's a bit with like loads of crowds and I thought, oh, okay, all the crowd's going to dance. There are things we can do here. But no, I guess this is into spoilers now. Here we are. Hey,
okay, spoilers. Yeah,
there's a moment at the end where the final song that Arthur sings is just like on a phone. There's no flashy sequence and there's no big extravagance. And I thought this is a really cool concept because he doesn't want to sing anymore. He is tired and he has rejected the Joker persona. And I love the idea that that's just him singing his final plea of love. And then when he meets with Harley at the end, she's singing, but he isn't anymore. And he says, talk to me, please. And I thought that was fascinating and really cool concept. And I thought those two scenes were really well done. But it doesn't hit because the previous musical scenes felt like so haphazard and so tacked on and so half-assed. It's a real shame because we had something brilliant and they just didn't commit. And that's the main issue of this film.
They're not committing to the musical genre. It doesn't do anything to reflect that. It is really sad when I was watching the entire movie and they didn't have like anything different with the Joker story. What it was still latching on to the first offense and trying to make a story out of it, like a courtroom drama. But that was boring. That was so boring. They could have done something different with it. It's trying to look at a character from a different perspective.
But it isn't a different perspective. That's where it falls short. That's what it's trying to do. But it doesn't add a single extra thing that the first film didn't already tell us. It's like the film is turning to you as an audience member and saying, did you consider this? And it's like, yes, I did consider this because I watched the first film, which was R-rated and for adult audiences. Again, stop talking down to us, just like the first film.
This is what the movie does again. It talked down to us.
Especially in the courtroom scenes, it kept on cutting back to the first film, and it's like, dude, I get it. I really get it. You don't have to keep on.
Whoa, it's a line to be the Joker. The Joker, baby.
Yeah. It's like, ugh.
The musical sections do that as well. They try to put you down to like what the movie is trying to tell us. When you have a theme for your story, you do not want to give the audience that information, so much information, because you want to keep them thinking, right? The first Joker movie doesn't do that particularly well because it does give us that information way too fast. The very, very first thing that the movie does is the cartoon where you got the Joker, then you got Arthur Fleck, and there's the Joker personality, and basically that spoiled the whole thing for you. You know the movie, you know the movie itself, but does it give something new? No, because the first movie told us there was a split personality between Arthur and the Joker personality. That is the whole idea, what the movie's trying to make sense. But then what you said about those two scenes, they felt like they had an impact, but did they? No, it just felt a complete waste of time to watch this movie, and that frustrated me because where are we going to see something new? No. Are we going to see something about prisons? Are we going to see something about this relationship with Lee and Arthur? And it was like, frustration. I just felt like, why do we need to have this?
Yeah, that's the core
thing,
sad. Isn't it? The first... John, no. So it's okay. Hold out another week. We don't have to talk about any more of this. It's really annoying because the first film, it's fine. It kind of has a few things to say, but thematically it's pretty paper thin. But like, as a standalone film, a standalone Elseworlds DC story, you know, made $1 billion, it's got a lot of fans, brilliant, you did it. Why make a sequel? Why make a sequel with 4 times the amount of budget that I don't know if it's going to do very well? People are saying it's really bad. A film that doesn't commit to any of its ideas, a film that isn't for the fans of the original Joker film, a film that isn't for fans of anything else. It's not doing anything from the comics, it's not for comic book fans. It's bizarre. I just can't fathom any of it. Like, that cartoon at the beginning, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that cartoon is very much like, yes, it's Arthur and the Joker wrestling with each other, and that's what the whole film is about. And from my perspective, that opening cartoon is the kind of thing that the media in this universe would have made following what happened with Murray being killed and the Joker and all that. You know, they mentioned this TV movie throughout. That's kind of what this is. And so immediately the film is kind of saying, look at how this world treats the Joker like a celebrity, not like something dangerous and scary. And so I thought, okay, interesting. So this film is going to kind of talk about the impact the Joker had on Gotham and all this stuff, but it doesn't do that. It doesn't care to do that. As I said earlier, it doesn't look at him as a martyr or the impact that he had. This idea of the Joker being like, I'm an idea. It's not about that. It's not about the Joker as an idea. It's just about so many things that it becomes about nothing. And it's weird because when we talked about the first film, I said, oh, it's not comic book Joker at all. And that's okay. And it's interesting because that whole film takes Arthur to the point where he becomes the Joker at the end. When he supposedly kills his psychiatrist at the end of the film and we see him run away, that is the Joker. He is now consumed by this persona, by this reality. This film, it then starts with him not as the Joker, and then he becomes the Joker again, and then he decides not to be the Joker. Why don't we just have a film where he's a Joker the whole time?
That was what I was exactly thinking. When I finished the film, I was like, can't we just have like a film about him being the Joker? Because that would have been interesting, because I don't think we had a fully film as the Joker. So I wished that we could have seen more of that, but no, we just got the exact retelling of the first film. And also, there's this weird thing that the film does. At the end of the movie, again, the plot does not make sense. There's no drive. And Lee is the character. We'll talk about Lee as the character in a bit. But at the end of the movie, Arthur gets stabbed. That's it. You get stabbed. And then, in my idea, someone else becomes the Joker. The guy that stabbed him becomes the Joker. Which, again, that's took away from the thing we got him with, because he's not exactly the Joker.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Awful storytelling. Because we had the first film, and then we had a sequel about this guy, about this thing, and then he's like, oh, I'm not the Joker. So what was the point? What was the point of this?
Like, yeah, because we're never gonna see, this is it, it's two films in this universe, this corner of DC. We're never gonna see Batman in this universe. We're never gonna see Joker, Harley Quinn, Two-Face, Harvey Dent is in this film, because why not? So we're never gonna see any of that. So then what's the point of showing this Joker who is gonna inspire the future generations of the Joker? It reminded me of Gotham. Stay with me now. Because in Gotham, spoilers for Gotham, incredible show, in season 2, Jerome, who is the original Joker, dies, right? And the impact that has is that he inspires people and he becomes this martyr. He inspires this cult, the cult who try to resurrect him and succeed. And so when he comes back even bigger and even badder and then dies again. That's the kind of show Gotham is. People are dying and coming back every bloody week.
Where's your goon would have like a...
Rachel Gould's in season 3 and 4. He dies at least twice. He's brilliant. So then when we introduce Jerome's twin brother Jeremiah, stay with me now.
Yes.
Jerome makes Jeremiah the next Joker, right? So Jeremiah becomes the Joker that Batman will know. And I'm gonna read a quote that Jerome says, the original Joker. He says, I'm more than a man, I'm an idea, a philosophy, and I will live on in the shadows within Gotham's discontent. You'll be seeing me soon. And in that quote, whilst that quote is said on the second time, we see Jeremiah become this second Joker. And that then leads to a bunch of terror and villainy within Gotham. We see that impact. But here, we spend so much time within the courtroom, we spend so much time within Arkham, but we never see the outside. We never see, like, properly the impact that Arthur, that Joker had. And there is kind of this concept of I'm an idea, I'm living in Gotham's discontent, but that's more in the first film. And here it's just, I'm a guy who actually, I don't really want to be the Joker anymore. I want to have a child and a family and bye. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, also the narrative structure does not make sense at all in this story. There's got to be a climax. there wasn't a climax in the story.
Yeah.
And there was nothing really to give a resolution to this. Again, it's about the impact. It's about the impact from the first movie and then try to continue it rather than breaking down and going back from the first film and it's like, okay, how do we do this? And then trying to use it as a musical as a way to make it look different and trying to use something else. And it didn't have any impact to the story. And it was very disappointing to see that. And then Lady Gaga as Lee, very confusing because it's like, I want Arthur. But then she's a normal person whose dad is a doctor and she's there in the first place to volunteer and stuff. And then she's like, oh no, Arthur's perfect. I want Arthur. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, she was a really confusing character in that I think Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn is an inspired choice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. And with what she's given, she does a great job. I think all the actors in this, I think Brendan Gleeson might have stolen the show. He was a really brilliant steal. You know, and just great acting all around. You know, I didn't expect anything less. And it was great. And she's a great choice. But she's basically chasing this idea of the Joker. She's chasing this high and this madness. And in the first half of the film, it's like, okay, they're going to break out together and go on this kind of crime spree. Cool.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought as well.
And then it turns into the court case stuff where she just kind of becomes a spectator. Even when the court blows up, I was like, this is Lee fighting back. But no, it's not. It's just somebody else. Basically, from the moment that her and Joker have sex, she just kind of melts into the background, just becomes a love interest who's there to be like, oh, I want you. Oh, I don't really want you anymore. Bye. And she just leaves at the end, which is so confusing. And I mean, that's not very Harley Quinn. I don't mind that it's not very Harley Quinn because none of this is very comic book. But it's as a character, it just kind of left so much to be desired. And then they brought back three characters from the first film. They brought back Sophie. They brought back Gary. They brought back the psychiatrist. And all of them just kind of explain what happened in the first film. And it was like, dude, we get it. We watched the first film. If anything, knowing that Sophie is alive takes away that little smidge of ambiguity, any nuance that was left from the scene where we discover that her and Arthur weren't actually a couple is gone. Because the question there was, what happened to her? Did he kill her? No, she's alive. She's fine. It's just a string of confusing choices throughout this film.
I'm just flabbergasted at this point. How can a movie cost $200 million and not have a coherent story at all? Here's the thing. DC, you need to be careful about what you're spending on. With $200 million on.
Yeah.
This film is going to not do too well because it's got bad word of mouth. Many people might not know this is a musical. I saw people walking out the cinema. But no, it was fairly still like a packed cinema. So I was glad people still stayed to the film and actually formulate their opinions. But yeah, everyone was just really quiet when the film ended. Nothing really to give out discussions and stuff. I just felt like they just wanted to make the sequel for trend's sake.
You're right. DC and Warner Brothers are on thin ice. So to spend $200 million on this kind of film is a bit of a stupid choice.
Where did it go?
I don't know. There's not a single thing in this film that is justifiably $200 million or even looks like it should have cost more than what the first film cost. Maybe it's to get the songs. Maybe it's to get Lady Gaga. I don't even know. None of it makes sense. And there's so much that I'm just like, eh? And it's really shame because this film, it kind of continues a losing streak for DC cinematically. I mean, aside from Blue Beetle, we haven't had a great DC film since The Batman. And no one saw Blue Beetle. So it just feels like they've all been terrible for ages. I mean, this, if anything, makes the uphill battle for Superman next year even more uphill. And like, genuinely, I don't think this film is that much worse than the first film. I thought the first film was like a 6 or a 7 out of 10. This film has all the same elements. The score is fantastic. You know, like, again, the gratingness of it, the oppressiveness of it, even like when they're singing and the score is kind of going against it. I really liked all that. As I said earlier, cinematography is great. And I never was actually bored by this film. It is 2 hours, 20 minutes, but I was never bored by it. You know, and the acting's all great. Same things that worked about this film worked about the first film. So like, I think people are going to be acting like, oh, they ruined it. The first Joker was amazing and this is terrible. No, they're both serviceable films. You know, this one's a bit worse, but not by much. Like, come on now. I hope we've learned a lesson here. You know, that if you've got a really great first film, you don't have to make a sequel if that's not the intention. If you're making a comic book film, make a comic book film. Stop it with the realism, for God's sake. And commit to whatever you want to do. You want to make it a musical? Make it a musical. You want to make it a sequel to the first film? Just do that. Like, don't try and do something in between, because this isn't going to please anyone.
This is a sad hell yeah. Like, I'm agreeing with you, Tom. I'm just a bit sad right now. I'm just contemplating, like, why on earth would you make a story that isn't coherent or clear?
What would you give it out of 10?
A 3.
Yeah, I think 4, because it didn't bore me. And that's...
I was getting frustrated.
That's very fair.
Here's the thing, though. If you look back to the Megalopolis, we enjoyed talking about that because of how you can see the artistic intentions that Coppola wanted to do for that movie. Sure, there's some scandals around that, and it is a confusing movie to watch. But did that frustrate me? Yes. But also, did it make me think about, like, as a director, what they're trying to tell? Yeah, that's the purpose of, like, looking films, is, you know, what they're trying to tell. Did this movie tell us anything? No, nothing. Yeah.
I can't believe that Megalopolis was better than Joker. I mean, I wouldn't have predicted that in a month of Sundays, that's for sure. But thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, John, we can rejoice, because Rings of Power Season 2, I am so excited to talk about this one. Arguably, we should have done it this week, because this is nothing but, like, so excited to talk about that. It's going to be brilliant.
Me too, dude. Me too.
Yes, and you can send us an email at asktimefilmpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Rings of Power. Actually, don't, because we've already recorded the pod, so...
Yes.
Done.
Oh, sorry, yeah, done. Imagine they just gave us a question, like, I am from the past. Ooh.
Yeah, send us a message from the past.
Yeah, send a message from the past. Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks for LJN's Mayor for the excellent theme, and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. That was Joker Folie à deux.
And I did it without too many sounds from the background. Oh, there's another one. Oh, it's a car horn. Oh, no. Oh, someone just slipped on a banana peel. I'm putting in cartoony sound effects for this. It's gonna be a great bit. People are gonna love it. The people. Okay. The people are gonna come. Oh. They're gonna.
Wait, what? But you just said.
They're gonna come.
I have Optimus Prime. I have. Okay. Okay. Right. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.